In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that?
I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing, independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Crack open a can of Beat Breaker Double IPA and take a bold, hoppy break. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a Friday, presented by Pelican Brewing Company. The return of warmer weather. Pelican Brewing brings back its summer seasonal beer, Pelicano, available in clear glass bottles. It's refreshment that you can see. The NBA playoffs begin tomorrow morning. Got one more set of playing games tonight to finalize the field. Joining us now to talk about that and the state of your Portland Trailblazers is our good buddy Keith Smith, covering the NBA for a long time for Spot Track and the front office show at Keith Smith NBA on Twitter. Keith, good morning to you. We have to start with a personal question, and that is, did you play high school basketball? And if you did, how many points per game did you average?
I did. It wasn't very many.
Like sub five? How many field goals a game are we thinking?
I was mostly a shooter, so probably
told you.
I would say maybe nine.
Let's go!
In my best year.
Let's go,
I nailed it.
I told you he was a shooter, and I guess 7 points per game. So thank you for making me look
Keith,
smart.
How tall are you, if you don't mind us asking?
5'9".
Let's go, baby.
5'9"?
Sharp shooter. Just stand. Now, where was your sweet spot on the floor? Did you have like a spot you go to?
Yeah, I was pretty good from the corner, or I really need to win.
Three for three. I think NBA Dirt's back. NBA Dirt's back. I nailed it.
High school Dirt's back.
Keith Smith, we love you now forever, and that was great. Let's get to just asked a question about the NBA playoffs first round. Who has the most pressure on them? We all kind of had different takes and then landed on one team. I'm curious to ask you that going into round one. Which team has the most pressure on them to get the job done?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think it's probably it's the Nuggets and Clippers. I struggle to separate the two of them. The reason why is the Nuggets, it feels like we're right on the tipping point of, you know, even more major change coming. And that would mean obviously with the roster at this point, because we've seen, you know, we've already seen the front office is going to change over. They got rid of Michael Malone, and then the Clippers, it feels like we're again, here I am, Charlie Brown, put the football down. This time I'm going to kick it. All right, maybe the Clippers, why not, right? They look pretty good, and, you know, who knows? But it feels like if they aren't at least extremely competitive in this series, maybe they even need to win. It feels like another team where we could see some roster change coming just out of a sense of, all right, we've kind of banged our head against the wall with this group to some extent, but we need to change it up a little bit more. So I would go with those two. I mean, the Thunder are under incredible pressure when you go 68-14 with a historically great scoring differential. I just don't think there's any chance they're going to lose in the first round.
Yeah. Is there a team in the East in the first round? One of the players has been dominating at the end of the series, had a great year in general. Giannis, they reportedly are going to get Dame back, which is great because we're all rooting for him out here. But it hasn't quite gone the way that many may have thought it would, including the players themselves. When we talk about pressure, if I tell you Dame and Giannis play and they still lose to the Pacers in a first-round series, that's probably got to fall into this category as well. And what do you think they should do if they don't win that first-round series?
Yeah, I agree with you. That would definitely be something that then could turn in a different direction in Milwaukee. And I think if Dame was out for the whole series and they lose, you could kind of say, well, we didn't have one of our guys, and let's run it back with some tweaks around the edges and go. If he's able to be back, let's say by game three or four, and be some level of what he usually is, then the pressure's on for them. And why that exists is there's this feeling around, you know, a lot of people around the NBA that at some point Giannis is going to look around and say, you know what, I've kind of done it. And part of that is interviews he's given himself where he said, well, I won a title here. You know, I can't win the first title again. You know, I brought them there. You know, well, you know, maybe I should, you know, look to be somewhere else. And then after Luka got traded, he's like, I don't know, maybe I'll get traded. And it feels like a little bit like that might be like, hey, let me just set the stage here to set everybody up just so it doesn't come out of nowhere if that's the direction it goes. So, yeah, I would say of East teams, them, and then I would say probably the Knicks. The Knicks are an extremely expensive team. They're a team that's made a lot of, we're going to lock into this core group of guys and, you know, move forward with these guys. And their team, if they stumble against the Pistons or if it's a non-competitive second-round series against the Celtics, who, yes, I am already putting in the second round, you know, they would be, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of questions asked about that Knicks team.
Yeah, we're talking with Keith Smith, our good friend, covering the NBA for a long time, contributor to Spot Track, the front office show, at Keith Smith NBA on Twitter. You can go follow him there. You know, it's interesting in the playoffs this year because I think in the NBA we have a general thought of, until I've seen you do it, I have a hard time envisioning it happening. It's kind of weird, and I operate that way, and even though I'm wrong all the time, I kind of do it to the new team that comes along again. Houston is a bit of that in the Western Conference this year, where they're the two seed. I believe in Vegas they're the underdog in that series. Mm-hmm. They're a very small favorite in game one at home. And Golden State, look, the pedigree is there. Steph, playoff Jimmy, Draymond. There's going to be fireworks in that series. I'm just curious what you make of Houston and a team that maybe doesn't have a true number one superstar, but clearly a good collection of parts, and how they fit into this Western playoff picture.
Yeah, it does feel like in the NBA there's a path from rebuilding to having a pretty good season, but you're not really quite there. Then the next year you take a step where it's, you know, now you're an established playoff team, but it's really that next year is when you're establishing yourself as a team that's a threat to win in the playoffs, maybe even be a contender. That's where the Thunder have walked that road. The Cavs have walked that road. Boston walked it and then kind of got stuck for a little bit there. So it's that seems to be the tried and true path. And that's where the Rockets are. And I'm completely with you where the NBA, more so than any other league out there, we're like, well, you got to prove it to me. You got to prove. In the NBA, the best team almost always wins a series because it's a seven-game series. It's hard to kind of, you know, pull off a full major upset there unless something gets a little sideways with an injury or something like that. So I think we're in a spot with the Rockets where they've got a chance against the Warriors. I think they've got a better chance than a lot of people are giving them. I'm seeing a lot of the talking heads even suggest, like, the Warriors are going to breeze through this because the Rockets have never been there. I'm worried about their offense. I don't know how they're going to score against a very good Golden State defense. I think that game's going to be a rock fight, or that entire series, rather, going to be a rock fight. It's the series I think I'd most like to bet on maybe having an ejection or two or a couple scuffles with some guys. But, yeah, I mean, they've got a chance. They really defend. Amen Thompson defended Stephen Curry as well as I've ever seen anybody defend Steph just a few weeks ago. So I think it's going to be a fun series. That, you know, it's the Warriors, it's Steph, so I get it. But I think that's going to be a competitive one.
Who do you like in the Wolves-Lakers?
I like the Lakers. Just it's Luka, it's LeBron. Like, they're, you know, they've been there, done that. But I think, again, I think Minnesota has things they can do. Minnesota has to use their size advantage in this, and the Wolves bench. Naz Reid and Dante DiVincenzo are better than anybody the Lakers are going to come with off the bench. If the Wolves bench can't outplay the Lakers bench by a significant margin, they're in trouble. So those things can go their way, but I'm going to be hard-pressed to pick against LeBron and Luka in a first-round series.
Final thing for us, because we appreciate the time. You nailed our high school bingo that we had before you came on, which was great. I want to ask you about our Blazers. I know they're not on the radar necessarily for you right now. We got playoffs. You're doing a lot of front office stuff as well, off-season narratives. But our Blazers kind of, they finished just outside of the play-in. They were over expectation on the win-loss situation. We all kind of looked at this and said, they're going to try to lose because Cooper Flagg's going in the draft. And so bottom five, here we come in the league. They did not do that. They actually tried to do the play-in. And now they basically say that they don't care about the lottery, that they could just be 10th and they'd be cool with that. They also don't have a superstar on their team. When you look at the way Portland is building what they are, do they remind you of any team currently in the playoffs? And what do you just make of the philosophy of tanking for a couple years and then just not tanking anymore when the draft is the best?
Yeah, the team they remind me of a little bit right now is probably Memphis, where it was this kind of steady build through adding young talent around, you know, some veteran guys that they brought in as well but there was always felt like there's a cap on that, and that cap was always just shy of being a true title contender. I think Portland has a lot of interesting young guys. I'm super excited about Scoot Henderson and the improvement he showed in year one to year two. And I've been, very much, I've probably even said it on your show here, don't give up on young point guards too early. Dude, sometimes it takes them a while to figure it out, and you're seeing the signs there. I think Shaedon Sharpe went up a level. Tomani Kamara is a guy every other team in the league would love to have. I think Chauncey Billups, the fact that he got that group with almost a revolving door of players in and out of lineup to defend, right around the middle of the pack, is really good. I think there's a chance that we could see them be a playoff team next year, or at least in the play-in tournament, in fighting for one of those playoff spots. But is that really where you want to be? Ideally, you want to be a title contender, and that's where I think you're right. There's no one you're looking at saying that is the star-level guy that will lead us. Now, maybe the basketball gods reward it, and they say, hey, you did it the right way. We're going to give you a little lottery luck here to help you out, or maybe they just nail a draft pick a little further down. But you got to find it somewhere. You're either going to develop from the guys you have. We'll see. Maybe Henderson, maybe Sharp. We'll see. Maybe Kamara can go up another level as an offensive player. But maybe they get a little luck in the draft. Maybe there's a trade that falls their way. But it looks like it's a good team, but it's a good team with a cap on it, if everything kind of falls in place. And that's if everything falls in place. So that's the struggle. That's why these teams bottom out and say, no, we got to go get a guy, especially when it's someone like Cooper Flagg in the draft.
Yeah, he's one of our favorites. He was a sharpshooter from the corner, always a threat to knock down the open jumper.
Damn
Keith
right
Smith, NBA on Twitter, Spot Track, Front Office Show. Keith Smith, thanks as always for the time, man. Enjoy the playoffs, and let's do this again soon.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me.